Hare Krishna. So while we are getting set up, we will remember a couple of the incidents of the last night's reading. I was just thinking it's interesting because this particular play was written by Srila Rupa Goswami while he was residing at the Ter Kadamba in Nandagram. So many of the devotees who are here have also been to our japa retreat where we're chanting at Ter Kadamba. And the play itself, as mentioned in the opening, was, the sutradhara informs us that the play was to be performed, or Srila Rupa Goswami envisioned the play as being performed by the slopes of Nandishwar Hill. So it's interesting because the Leela itself does not take place in Nandagram. It takes place here by the side of Giriraj. So somehow or another, we're especially fortunate because although we have already heard and been perhaps to Ter Kadamba, sought the blessings of Srila Rupa Goswami, we have now been transported right to the side of Giriraj to hear this pastime that actually took place right there. Now, not exactly right here in Jatipur, but if you were to take a parikrama very quickly around this way through the Govardhan town and just near before the palace, the Govardhan palace, you would come to Dan Gati. And there also there is the pouring of milk and the drain of the milk coming from all the abhishek of the of Giriraj right there. And that actually is the place where this pastime, I could say, was performed, but actually that would be incorrect because this pastime is actually continuously being performed. So please hear now the last section of this argument, wonderful argument. Now, it's a little bit difficult to get the full picture when you're reading over five nights because it seems like, oh, here we are again, we're doing the same thing again. They're still arguing 5 days later and they're still arguing. But of course, when this was performed as a drama, the whole show went on right there before the eyes of the devotees. So it went from the beginning to the end right there, and the continuity was intact. And as we hear from Srila Rupa Goswami, the devotees were completely ecstatic hearing this wonderful pastime. So we are having our own way of doing this over a period of time. So just to remind you, yesterday the gopis came to the point where they decided to tell Krishna, because he was so audacious, he kept arguing backwards and forwards, that actually he was to pay a compensatory toll because his cows ate the grass and sometimes damaged the plants all over Vrindavan, and the boys were picking flowers and putting them in their hair. And also they ate the fruits and they did so many things. They took the branches and decorated themselves. So for this damage to Vrindavan, which was actually the forest belonging to Srimati Radharani, she's the queen of Vrindavan, then they should pay Srimati Radharani her toll. And then just to make it very clear to the boys that this is Vrindavan Ishwari's forest, a wonderful Krishna arranged abhishek was described, where just like this morning we heard from Maharaj about the Govinda abhishek, where Krishna received the name Govinda, and demigods came because it was Surabhi from the heavens who was requesting this. So all the universal devas and all the important people from everywhere came to take part in that abhishek. But this one with Srimati Radharani was a smaller affair and very feminine. No, Vayu wasn't there, Brahma wasn't there, only wives came. All the demigoddesses came, all the goddesses were present. And the gopis performed the abhishek with the beautiful fragrant water in the gold kailashes with the jewels all over them. And this was how Radha was proclaimed, at Krishna's request, queen. And then the boys, of course, because they're very boisterous, they then claimed that actually, yes, she's queen of one forest, Vrindavan, but our king, our emperor, he is the emperor of 12 forests. He's the emperor of Gokul, and he's the emperor actually of everything. And when they challenged this, that you're Emperor Manmata, he's like this, he's like that, then finally the boys said, actually, this emperor, this Cupid, who controls everybody's minds, I'm sure we've all had our experience of how Cupid makes the mind flutter and spin. So this Cupid, actually, the eternal Cupid, is Krishna with his extraordinary beauty and charm. And then the boys ended up by saying, and just as we heard this morning about the Govinda Abhishek, they said, and the celebration that defeats every other celebration that's ever been performed was this wonderful Govinda Abhishek. And Arjuna Sakha is glorifying this particular event. So, as Maharaj explained this morning, this Abhishek, where Krishna was called, given the wonderful name Govinda, took place just when Krishna was, how old, Maharaj? 7 years old. 7 years old and 2 months and a half. 7.5 months old. Did everybody hear that? Seven? 2.5 months. Okay. However many months, it was 7 years, right? And do you remember that Srimati Radharani asked for 8 years of tax?
Yes.
So, her festival took place when Krishna was 8 years old. So Vrinda says, ha, expert logicians have ascertained that between two rulers, the latter one, The last one is always the strongest. She says, when a new king is crowned, who pays attention to the previous one? So Radha was crowned later, so Krishna... Mada Mangal says, stop talking so much. Our dear friend is the king of this forest, and therefore... you, the toll-paying citizens, should give us all honor as the royal entourage. You should offer us all jalebis. Krishna says, Subal, please decorate this forest grove. There was a place, if you can remember this, in the beginning, Krishna was told to wait up on the top of Govardhan Hill, at a place called the Sham Mandap. And then he came down from there. And when he threatened Radha a couple of times that I'll put you in a mountain cave, that was this Sham Mandap. But here Srila Rupa Goswami uses the word Shamala Mandap, which means much the same thing. So Krishna tells Subal to decorate that Shamala Mandap because that is where he is going to keep these arrogant girls who fail to pay their tax as slaves. Radha says, the Shamala Mandap belongs to my friend Shamala. So why do you desecrate it by turning it into a place for collecting tolls? Then Krishna looks at Radha and he says, because she's very so strong and so good at retorting, he says, O Empress of the Crooked, it is time for the wheels of Radha's royal chariot to come to a halt. This toll station is now presided over by the great emperor who pierces hearts with his arrows. And Radha says to him, O boy who tastes the nectar of your flute, you are crooked in three places. You are crooked in your beginning, your ankles. You are crooked in your middle, waist. And you are crooked at the end, which is Krishna's neck. She said, your sweet music devastates the world, and that is why you are called the king of the crooked. You should be called Vrakreshwar. Now, Vrakreshwar is a name for Lord Shiva, who's crooked. So Krishna laughs very softly and he says, but you are crooked in eight places. You are crooked in your speech. You are crooked in your hair. You are crooked in your eyebrows. You are crooked in your glance. You are crooked in your smile. You are crooked in your movements. You are crooked in your veil. And lastly, you are crooked in your heart. I thus praise you, who behaves just like Astavakra Muni. Astavakra. Vrakreshwa. Astavakra Muni. So Astavakra Muni is a great devotee of Lord Shiva who worshipped Vrakreshwa, Lord Shiva. So Champakalata replies, because Krishna is very tricky. Even if your crookedness went unnoticed, you surround yourself with persons who are also crooked like you. Birds of a feather play together. We pure-hearted girls should leave here. Krishna says, O pious girls, it will be very difficult for you to leave here without paying me the tax. Champakalata said, honest people can travel on whatever road they choose. Krishna says, Chitra says, O best amongst men, you are glorified by many auspicious verses. So we are in the midst of performing a religious sacrifice, so please let us go. Nandimukhi says, pointing to Radha, she says, because Radha is the empress of all girls, she admitted that herself, Krishna, you, as the tax superintendent, should worship her with various services. And Krishna thinks, very good, because this is what he actually wants. So he walks towards her. He likes this idea. He says, yes, I will serve Radha. And Lalita says, oh, you who think you are very clever, because he's walking towards her again, do not touch her. Krishna says, have you not given this girl to me? And he's tapping his foot on the ground as he's speaking. He says, O girl who thinks herself so brave, look, the emperor of mighty heroes is strolling now in front of you. Stop the waves of your arrogance and pay your tax. Lalita says, O toll gate bell ringer, if you are so persistent, then you can come to my house in the evening and I will give you some sour cream. Now, this might sound a little bit generous, but what Lalita is referring to is the pots. When they churn the yogurt, then what's left on the inside of the pots it becomes very hard. And if you scrape that off, it's not very delicious. She's saying, I will scrape that all off and I will give it to you. So it was quite demeaning. And Nandimukhi says, Lalita, do you think that in the house of the king of the cowherders, which has lakhs and lakhs of wish-fulfilling cows, do you think that Krishna has no thick cream and therefore he has to come and beg it from your house? And Krishna says, Radhika, you have put your hopes in Lalita's bold ramblings, but do not expect me to stop forcing you to pay the tax. And Krishna, Lalita says, in front of Lalita, even the wind does not touch the cloth of Radha. She says, by trying to come nearer to her, because Krishna is trying, he's been offered the service, he wants to serve the empress, and Lalita is saying no. By trying to serve her, you will prove yourself a fool. And Krishna turns to Nandimukhi and he says, Nandimukhi, I am a kind person. What is my fault that is causing these girls to be so disagreeable? And then Arjunasaka, he's getting a little impatient with all this bantering backwards and forwards, and he says, Saka, he says, you forgot your responsibility to the emperor of the groves. He ordered you to bring before him any arrogant girls who refuse to pay the tax. And Krishna says, yes, Arjuna, well done, well done. He wants to get back to business. He says, so, Lalita, all your companions can wait here, and you come along with me and meet the emperor and his assembly. And Lalita said, of course, because you know all about Dharma, you will understand that if I go with you, it will stain my reputation completely. So, she says, I cannot go with you. And if you want to touch Radha again, first of all, unleash your courage on me. And she stands very firmly. Krishna says, obeisances to you, O Mahakali. Leaving aside your garland of 50 skulls, you have come here in the form of this ferocious, ferocious gopi to destroy the god of love. Lalita says to herself, after Krishna says this, she changes the mood and she thinks to herself and she says, the pastimes of playful talk, because please remember that everything that the gopis are doing are to intensify Krishna's eagerness or to intensify Krishna's longing to get what he is desiring so much. They are not fighting with him just to be contrary or bad-tempered or selfish. So now she understands that she has completed the pastime of playful talk. So she says to herself, this pastime of playful talk should now come to an end. I will now take the divine couple and make them swim in a flood of nectar that they both yearn for so much. Now her mood has changed, and she says, Vishakha, please go and tell noble Purnamasi that we are being teased and mocked. She's asking Vishakha to go. So Nandimukhi says to herself quietly, she says, Purnamasi already knows. She is hiding in the groves, watching everything. And then she says out loud, she says, Lalita, I think Purnamasi now, she's with Yasoda. So Krishna is standing there and Radha starts to laugh in a mocking way. And she says to Lalita, oh Lalita, because she can see her change of mood. And she says, I see that your love for us now is so great that you love us more than your own self. And you're willing to do anything to free us from this torture. And that is why you are no longer bold and you are starting to tremble. All glories to you, Lalita says. Radhe, you are famous for your worship of the sun god. I think you should stay here for a little while and we will walk on a little further and wait for you. And Radhe says, oh girl, expert at hiding your intentions. Go. Krishna is very pleased. But Vishakha, Krishna says to himself, it seems as if Lalita has lost some of her steam. And then he says, Lalita, this is an excellent idea. You always know how to behave according to time, place, and circumstances. And now, standing before my toll station, you have stopped all your meaningless arguments. Lalita says, it is not we who argue, it is your friends who argue with us. So she is not completely submissive. And then Vishakha steps forward and says, Lalita, Lalita, you have made a terrible mistake. Oh no. And Lalita says, what blunder? What have I done? And Vishakha says, you quarrelsome gopi. Stop all this immediately. Immediately stop. Have you forgotten that the priest in the sacrifice ordered us to carry the ghee for the offering? At such a time, we should not even be talking to lusty boys who always abuse noble girls. Then she puts her finger right on Lalita's nose and she says, you have not only looked at this fellow, but you have passed so much time in useless conversation. To hell with you. Lalita looks very despondent and she says, oh, Vishakha, you're right. I was bewildered and I forgot everything. Please tell me what my atonement should be for this mistake. Now, Krishna was just about to get her, right? He was just about to get Radha, and Vishakha enters and immediately moves everything away in this way. So then Vishakha says, well, sages say that the only way to get rid of sin is to constantly think of Lord Vishnu. So you must think of him. So Lalita touches her nose and pulls her ears and she goes, Vishnu, 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 Vishnu. And she's trying to look very repentant. And Krishna smiles and he says, oh Lalita, although you're very fallen, I can make you sinless. And then he walks over to Lalita and he puts his arms around her. And Lalita jumps back in horror and goes, oh no, oh no, now what has happened? And this is all for Krishna's pleasure. Oh no, I am a noble girl. I am a respectable girl, and now I have been touched by him. Oh, no. And everybody looks at her and says, Lalita, Krishna has touched you. She was so busy preventing Krishna saying, we are noble girls, please do not touch us. And Krishna has mysteriously got in there and touched Lalita. Then Lalita says, I am now very disturbed. My friends no longer trust me. But there is one way that suffering can be reduced, and that is if it is shared with many people. And Lalita gives Krishna a little hint, and Krishna walks over to Champakalata, and he tries to touch Champakalata, and she jumps back and says, don't touch me, don't touch me, and she runs away. And then he looks at Lalita and she gives a little hint. And so he walks over to Vishakha and he tries to put his arms around her and she jumps back and says, don't you touch me. And she moves away. And then Lalita gives another little hint and Krishna walks over to Radha and tries to capture Radha. And she runs behind Vishakha and says, help, help, oh Vishakha, please save us both. Krishna says, I'm just obeying Lalita. Because now Lalita has changed her mood. She is trying now to arrange for Krishna and Radha to meet. Radha starts to call Lalita a traitor. She says, you took us away from our homes and then you have put us in this situation. Don't you feel ashamed? And Krishna says, I must begin again, because he didn't get what he wanted, to get the tax. Now Nandimukhi steps forward and says, listen, Krishna, tell me what the tax is that you want, and I will arrange that everybody can pay, and it should be divided up neutrally, everything will be all right. So then, Lalita says we can pay 5 gold coins and Krishna says no. And then Lalita takes a ring and says we'll give you this valuable ring instead for the tax. And Krishna says this ring is useless and he gives it to Subal and says throw it away. And then Subal pretends to throw it away. And then after that Lalita thinks, I know what we can give as a tax. We will give Radharani's necklace. And so she takes off Radharani's necklace and says, we will give this to you as tax. And the hint in giving the necklace is that now we'll give you the necklace and later we can meet. So Krishna is very happy with the necklace. He accepts the necklace. But then, after a few minutes, he says, so this necklace is satisfactory as the toll for the toll gate supervisor. But what about the toll for the king, the emperor? What are you going to pay him? And Lalita said, that's not fair. We gave you this expecting it would take care of the whole toll. And then it comes out what Krishna wants. Nandimukhi says, all right, now what do you want, Krishna? And Krishna says, you are an associate of Purnamasi, and therefore the toll I ask, this is the toll that Krishna now wants, is 100,000 trillion gold coins. You know what that is? That's 200,000 million tons. 200,000 million tons of gold is the price that Krishna is saying. I want this. And if you don't wish to give me this, you can give me Radha instead. You can forget the toll and give me Radha, or if you don't give me Radha, I want 200,000 million tons of gold. Then, just at that very moment, the noble Purnamasi enters into the scene. Now, Purnamasi is very important to the residents of Vrindavan because she is very elderly. And her grandson is Madhumangal, and her granddaughter is Nandimukhi. So everybody also listens to her. She is a disciple of Narada. And she came from Ujjain, where she was living. And her son is Sandipani Muni. So Purnamasi came to live in Vraj, and she lives as an ascetic, an elderly, saintly lady. And she is always referred to, if there's any problem or any question, the Rajabasis will go to Purnamasi, and her decision is final. Nobody jokes and plays and teases and laughs with Purnamasi. So Purnamasi enters, and she looks at the whole situation, the girls, the boys, Krishna and his tax. And she says, "O handsome boy, although these clever girls carry you in their hearts, you may very well desire this girl. But please know that she is valuable beyond all limit. She cannot be bought even for 200,000 million tons of gold." Krishna becomes a little embarrassed in front of Purnamasi. And he offers his respects. But then a little impudently, you see, because he's been in this fighting spirit, he says, "Noble lady, I only want to collect my toll. I'm not interested in this young girl." Radha says, "Oh, noble Purnamasi," she also offers her respects and says, "by your grace, now we can cross to the other shore of this ocean of deception." Purnamasi looks at the girls and says, "O slender waisted girls, you are agitated, sharp tongued, proud and eager for a quarrel. How can you expect not to fall into the ocean of deception by stubbornly refusing to pay the king of toll collectors, who rules as God in the forest?" Lalita said, "Noble lady, we gave him that rare necklace, Radha's necklace, and still we're not set free." Purnamasi says, "Lalita, just think about it. The red dye of this pretend quarrel has tinged the fine silk of Krishna's mind pink. So this clever boy with a peacock feather on his head is seemingly hostile towards you gopis. He will not be able to curb his wrath, to curb his anger, until he is given his favorite thing." Nandimukhi says, "O noble lady, please order us which one of us is capable of bearing that weight 200,000 million tons of gold. Purnamasi says, of you five girls, the one with the lotus eyes, who is most able to please Krishna, who is recognized as topmost, should be given to him. Now, Radha starts to become a little worried because now she becomes afraid. And she clings to Vrinda and she's looking, and all the gopis are looking at her. And Radha says something to Vrinda. She whispers something in Vrinda's ear. And Vrinda steps forward and says, oh, noble lady, this girl with a slender waist has said, Lalita is very clever in speech and fit for worship of Krishna. And that is why we brought her here by tricks. So now she is ready to surrender herself. So she is awaiting your order. Lalita smiled at Radha and said, when the jewel of the heart is already taken, what is the use of further battle? Purnamasi says, what Lalita said is not wrong. Then Radha says, oh, Purnamasi, please have mercy upon me. Be kind to this frightened, gentle girl in such a dangerous position. Please do not give her away as the toll placed by this harsh toll collector. And she bows down to Purnamasi. And Purnamasi takes her in her arms and lifts her up. And she says, child, do not cry. All this is for your bright future. And Krishna says, noble lady, I am so fortunate, for at this most appropriate time, you have graced us with your presence, and I therefore consider that I have already exacted the tax. Purnamasi says, O treasure amongst the handsome, the jewel necklace, the jewel from this beautiful girl already adorns your neck. What is the need for any other fee? Krishna thinks, Purnamasi has made my fee this most cherished Radha. He is thinking that if I have the jeweled necklace, then also I will get the beautiful girl. He says, O noble lady, this lovely girl's jewel is dazzling like a pleasant full moon. It is true. Without the waves of your mercy, I could not have obtained it, the necklace. Purnamasi says, O best of lovers, when I praised this jewel, you took it to mean your jewel-like friend, Krishna. You are the great teacher in the art of wisdom. Obtaining this jewel, the necklace, is your guarantee to obtain your beloved. So today, you have become complete. So the word for complete is Purnam. Purnam. And Purnamasi. Purnamasi, Purnam. And also, Purnamasi means the Purnima, the full moon. So Purnamasi says, Vrinda says, where is the possibility of the moon being incomplete, not Purnam, on the day of Purnima or on the full moon night. Now in this beautiful verse, in this beautiful explanation, analogy, Purnamasi is the Purnima, the full moon night. And Krishna is now Purnam, he's the moon. So the moon is now united with the Radha star. The moon and the star come together on this particular occasion of this particular Purnima. So Vrinda says, so let the full moon night directly behold the full moon along with its friend, the Vishakha star. Because there is one constellation where the star that arises is called Vishakha. And also the name is the Radha star. So Purnamasi points out that she should not be praised as the full moon night. The full moon night does not make the full moon beautiful, but the full moon makes the full moon night beautiful. So she is feeling herself honored to have brought Radha and Krishna together, because that is actually the only desire of Purnamasi. In Srila Rupa Goswami's play, known as Vaidagdha Madhava, in the beginning of the play, Purnamasi expresses this to Gargi, her friend. And she tells her that my only wish in my life is to see Radha and Krishna united. And soon after she says that, she arranges to marry Radha to somebody else. So how mysterious are these Braj pastimes? And so when we hear them, we must pray to Srila Prabhupada that somehow or another we can hear them without using our intelligence and our imagination to interfere with the flow of what is being spoken. In that way, they will create impressions in our heart that will gradually help us to make advancement. Purnamasi says, I am now fully satisfied with your heart-touching pastimes, but I wish to ask you for something. Krishna says, noble lady, order me at once and I shall obey. Purnamasi says, you are an ocean of nectar, born from the sweetness of your own immaculate pastimes. A request made at an appropriate time will always bear fruit, and therefore I ask, O Madhava, O playful friend, please eternally enjoy this tall pastime with your confidential friends and Sri Radhika with her gopi friends at this place, Dangati, at this place by the side of Govardhan Hill. And she wants another request fulfilled. She says, if somebody has left all material activities and lives in a cottage by the side of Radha Kund and yearns to serve you and Radha directly in this holy place, then, O Madhava, kindly induce the tree of such a devotee's aspiration to quickly bear fruit. Krishna says, so be it, noble lady. Now let us depart for our own duties. And this ends the play of Sri Dan Kelly Kumudi. Now, as we said earlier, that person living by the side of Govardhan, of Radha Kund in a small cottage, chanting and chanting, continuously chanting, and thinking of their relationship with Radha and Krishna, is very likely to be the dear friend of Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And as we heard earlier, when Sri Rupa gave his manuscript of Lalita Madhava, which describes the separation of Radha from Krishna, when he gave this to Raghunath Das to read this, when he read of this mood of separation, Radha is lamenting, she enters the Jamuna, she is never seen again. Vishakha also enters the Jamuna, it is as if they've committed suicide. And Lalita runs to the top of Govardhan Hill and jumps off. When Raghunath Das is reading this, he's crying and crying and crying. He cannot eat, he cannot sleep. He's only thinking of his mistress, because the Goswamis are all servants eternally of Radha and Krishna, particularly of Srimati Radharani. So when he is in this mood of deep separation, everyone is worried, will he even stay alive? Just as we heard when Uddhava came to see the residents of Vrindavan, he wondered, will they stay alive? And so they told this to Rupa Goswami, and he very quickly, at Ter Kadamba, he penned this very playful drama where Radharani is victorious all the time. She answers Krishna back, she wins the battles, and all of her friends are very bold and brave. And he gave this text to Raghunath Das, and he took back the other one, and Raghunath Das became very, very happy. And as a result of reading this Dan Kelly Komodi, Srila Raghunath Das himself wrote another drama on the basis of this Dan Kelly Leela called Dan Kelly Chintamani, and he sent that drama to Srila Rupa Goswami. So these are the loving exchanges between these exalted followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are so fortunate because Srila Prabhupada has given us all of these pastimes and so forth in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So may this garland-like play, says Srila Rupa Goswami, bestow happiness upon all of its flowers. I have strung it on the order of my dear friend. May it decorate his voice, at least for one moment. This Banika play, Srila Rupa Goswami writes at the end of the drama, this Banika play was composed by a resident of Nandishwar in the year 1471 of the Sakha era. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who has written the Tika, which gives us insights into this play, he finishes his Tika by saying, the Tika means a commentary. He says, I worship the united forms of Radha and Madhava as they appear at the end of the tax pastime, overwhelmed with love and happiness for each other. So this ends our rendition of the Dan Kelly Komodi. Thank you. Hare Krishna.